In our readings, as I think I mentioned yesterday, there is a turning point. In the first reading, and in fact both readings, the theme is water. This is to get everybody ready who's being baptized. I figured the other day, thinking about the different dioceses in this country, there's probably over 100,000 people getting ready to be baptized or to enter the church. That's a lot, you know. And we should carry them in our prayers and be with them. So today we start this notion, and we have in the first reading this marvelous text from Ezekiel 47. It's his vision of the renewed temple. He's in exile. The temple's been destroyed. Solomon's temple has been destroyed. And he has this vision of the new temple. And it's from God. The angel brought me, Ezekiel, back to the entrance, and I saw water flowing out. Now, this is water. This is the repetition in the city of what God did in the desert. Water from the rock. Now it's water from the temple. And it comes out from the side, from underneath the threshold. Huh? And as you just heard, it flows down, down into the Kidron Valley, fills it, and then makes a river going all the way to the Dead Sea. And it's a delight. There are fish in that river. When the water gets to the Dead Sea, it's no longer dead. It's alive. And then there are trees on either side which bear fruit, you know, every month. And the leaves have healing. This is a vision of what's going to come from the temple. So, as we already know, in chapter 2, when Jesus cleans the temple, they say, "What sign do you give?" And he says, "Destroy this temple, and I'll raise up another in 3 days." Jesus is the temple. Jesus is the one from whose side flow blood and water. This is a promise of the Holy Spirit, not just for those who are getting baptized, but for all of us who are getting ready to renew our baptism. Make a real commitment. This year, I belong every bit of me to God. I renounce Satan, I renounce his pomps and works, I renounce his strategies, and I believe in God the Father, and in God the Son, and in the Holy Spirit, and in the Catholic Church, and I believe. And I'm renewed. And so we start this. And this will be a theme that will come back and come back. Water. Finally, Zechariah has another vision after Ezekiel. And it's from Jerusalem, from the whole city that this water comes. And people come up to celebrate the Feast of Sukkot, which is the feast which the Jews commemorate God's care for them in the desert. And the key is, you know, commemorating the water and the light. So all of that is laid out for us here to begin to prepare us. In the gospel, we have again water. There's a pool. It's still there. The five sides, you might imagine it to look like a pentagon, but it doesn't. It looks like a big rectangle. Long, thin, and then across the middle of it, not exactly the middle, there's another portico. So that's where you get five. The four around the side and the one through the middle. There are sick people there. It was an old healing shrine near the temple, near the sheep gate, as you just heard. And the idea was, I guess, and as the man says, there's a gloss, there's a verse 4 in the text, which somebody put in to explain the background. It's far as we can tell, it's not part of the John's text. Somebody put it in to explain to us about this water getting stirred. And so Jesus, looking at this man, he doesn't have to wait for the water. He just says, stand up, take up your mat, and walk. And it's done. But it was the Sabbath. Jesus knew it was the Sabbath. And he does this by way of revelation. Soon, in the John's Gospel, the next chapter, chapter 6, it's a Passover. And Jesus goes out into the wilderness, out into the desert place, and he multiplies bread. The new manna. On purpose. He does this. See, to break open their understanding. So here, on Shabbat, he heals. And so the Jews challenge him. And now we are going to start to see, starting tomorrow, two more things, you see. First, the opposition. He healed on the Shabbat. Why can't everybody be happy? Shabbat. Healing. Isn't that wonderful? But the man carried his mat. It's forbidden to carry your mat. So now there's a challenge to Jesus' authority. Jesus told me, carry my mat. And it's against the law. It's one of the 39 works listed in the Mishnah that you can't do on Shabbat. Just carry something from place to place. Jesus knew that. So the answer, and we'll see it all tomorrow, the answer is, you see, began to persecute the Jesus, right? And then, starting tomorrow, my Father is at work until now, so I am at work. Father works on the Shabbat. He brings life into this world. He judges, and we're going to see exactly the things Jesus claims for himself. So on one level in this text, we're hearing Jesus in an astonishing way, standing there in the temple, saying, whatever God does, I do. Can you imagine? What a claim! And he's saying it with all simplicity and all frankness. Whatever God does, I do. But then, as we'll see, there's more. This gospel will now begin to open up for us the Trinitarian source of our salvation. And we'll hear that tomorrow. The Trinitarian source of our salvation. Broken open for us right in these words of Jesus. So there's a change now. We're meant now to begin to let the Holy Spirit wake us up, free us from sin and vice and stuff, and get an understanding of what happens at Easter, what happens on Good Friday. You see how precious this is? And we need, for this, the gift of understanding. It's a gift from the Holy Spirit. It brings us into a level of reality we can't get there by ourselves. To understand this, to be rendered breathless by seeing with our own mind God's work. And then these symbols begin to serve their purpose. Jesus, the new temple, from whom at this very moment there is flowing rivers of living water to refresh, to heal, to console, to help. Anybody? That's the Holy Spirit. And when we come to this Eucharist, we are coming to the Jesus from whom there is water flowing right there through my hand. The Holy Spirit is there. And we receive this blessed Eucharist. And as St. Ephrem used to say, when you receive this bread, you receive the fire of the Holy Spirit. You see, my friends, the realities, the mysteries, the awesome that surround us, and how easy it is to get dull, to get preoccupied with my problems, or just making money, or how easy. And the world that surrounds us, you know, the depth of this world, the glory of this world, the meaning of this world, the understanding of who we are and where we're going, given to us day by day in the sacred text. Take time to begin to return to the practice that kept the church alive, pondering the scriptures. They are not going to give you information. They're going to give you reality. It's going to touch your spirit and your soul and change your life. You're going to fall in love with Jesus, who died willingly, so that from him, the new temple, the new place where God dwells, the new place of revelation, the new place where the Torah is preached, Jesus. That's now the church is going to start instructing us. We've heard a lot. We'll hear some more about how to pray, how to fast, how to forgive, how to do all those, the blocking and tackling of the Christian life. Now we're going to start to open up, you know, the depth of this, and we'll see the inner suffering of Jesus and the theology, the real reality of the Passion.